Once the solid bedrock of South Africa's economic growth, the country's mining industry has been in a steady state of decline for the past two decades as its international competitiveness has waned. And competitiveness is such an important concept. It was mentioned by the Mines Minister yesterday, and in the conversations I've had at Mining Indaba so far, it really has been impressed upon us that we are competing on a global playing field for, wouldn't say scarce capital for projects, but certainly cautious capital that has been still recovering from the last global commodity super cycle where investors were burned. There was probably some imprudent capital allocation at the back end of the cycle, which is so typical of those things. And the challenge currently for South Africa is determining how to increase the size of the pie to create more value for all the stakeholders in an environment of ever-increasing costs and reducing margins and increased volatility. Well, it's very important to be cognizant of those challenges. It's equally critical to be aware of the opportunities and to find ways to revitalize what remains of South Africa's most important, if not one of the most important industries. Now, it's a key takeaway of working together to re-energize the South African mining industry, which is a report that was released today by the Boston Consulting Group. And I've got Hans Kapers, a BCG partner in the Joburg office, in my pop-up studio to chat again. Hans, it seems to be our annual conversation. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing very well, thank you.
Now, how have you gauged the mood this year? As I said in my introduction, it does seem to be a mood where investors are trying to remind South Africa that we are competing on a global playing field and that investors are still not quite satisfied with where we are.
No, and I think, of course, our president, Mr. Ramaphosa, has clearly articulated some of the goals that he wants to pursue. The Minister of Mineral Resources actually commented on it earlier in the week that mining needs to be lifted from the current 7% that it has as a contribution to the GDP to the 10% over the next 5 years. Those are pretty big, hairy, audacious goals, especially in an industry that is declining. And we actually made an assessment as the Boston Consulting Group to see where South Africa ranks in terms of its competitiveness. And we came to the conclusion that further things need to be done, but that it might be possible.
What are the low-hanging fruit from this perspective? Obviously, there are longer-term structural issues here. For example, getting Eskom right. There are solutions on the table. It's going to require some tough political decisions and some trade-offs. That's perhaps more medium to long-term to finally solve for that problem. What's more immediate in terms of the levers that we have to pull to increase our competitiveness?
Yeah, for me, one of the most important levers is probably around policy certainty. It's been a widely discussed topic in South Africa. What probably has been less discussed about what can you actually do about it? And if I look towards a country like Botswana, is a country where they have taken some of the things that are currently captured into policy in South Africa, and they actually put that into law, so they legislated it, which makes it much harder to change. I think that could be a potential path that South Africa could follow. Also, some reduction of ministerial discretion would be very helpful. Then, of course, we need to continue to invest in things like geological mapping, for example, which are actually projects that will not pay off within a year, but in the next 5-6 years, we could see some change. I've also seen yesterday that Transnet is now starting to invest in the Overval tunnel to unlock the Waterberg towards Richard Bay Terminal, which I think is a great step towards unlocking some of the logistical constraints. We probably need more of that.
And there are all sorts of interesting conversations that are happening around coal in particular right now and the just energy transition. Nedbank coming out recently saying they're not going to be funding coal. But the reality is, for sub-Saharan Africa in particular, where 600 odd million people don't have access to reliable energy sources, that we do have an abundance of coal. So it will remain part of the energy mix for the foreseeable future as we transition. So those investments are certainly important. I want to talk about regulation, and I was reading Elon Musk's biography on the plane down here, and he's a maverick, as we know, and he was rather disparaging of the regulators in the American space industry. But he picks up a very important issue, and it's about the fundamental problem with regulators. He says that if a regulator agrees to change a rule and something bad happens, they could easily lose their career. Whereas if they change a rule and something good happens, they don't even get a reward. So there is this incentive inside regulators all over the world to regulate almost with a constraining or negative bias inside an industry rather than trying to regulate with a more positive bias. Do you think there's scope for us to try and reform the way the mining industry is regulated from that perspective, to perhaps set different targets for our regulator around whether or not it has actually opened up the South African mining space and made us more competitive?
Yeah, look, I think regulators have a lot of interests to balance, right? They have the interests to balance from civil society, they have interests to balance from, let's say, companies, and what they need to very carefully manage those things. So I can actually see a future where we kind of incentivize the regulators on a little bit of a different, in a different way to actually overcome that bias of, I get punished for doing something wrong, but I don't get rewarded for doing something right.
And it would be a wonderful breath of fresh air, but as I say, it's a global issue. It's not only a South African issue. That when we look at the issue around policy certainty, it's a conversation that we've been having ever since 2004 when the MPRDA came into effect. The fact that we've got the mining charter now gazetted, the fact that we do have a mines minister that seems more open to negotiation with the industry, with all of the key stakeholders, are we heading in the right direction? What still remains outstanding from a policy certainty perspective for you?
Yeah, I think I talked about that a little bit earlier, right? Yes, it is good that we have now a more stable framework. Policy certainty is around, let's say, the length in which this framework is actually in action. The Mining Charter 3.0 has only been released, I don't know, can't remember, like half a year ago or gazetted half a year ago or something like that. And the proof of the pudding will be in the eating, right? So how long will that mining charter now live before, let's say, further changes are made? That's also why I believe that if you think about the policy slightly differently and you look for opportunities, for example, legislate them to make sure that they are less open to changes when there are ministerial changes or, let's say, even political changes that would definitely make it more attractive for people to invest. What you need to realize is that a mining project is a 40-year investment typically, right? There are really deep investments that you need to do in order for a project to run, and you kind of need that certainty over that long of a period.
That's where we have been going so wrong. Yes, there's been some good policy, some bad policy, a lot of bad policy, but it's been shifting the goalposts all the time. You can plan for a project around whatever regulations or policies are in place as long as you don't shift them 5, 10, 15 years into the project. And then all the assumptions, all the models have to change. And I think investors have been badly burned by that. If we look at the application process for mining rights and permitting, clearly there is room for improvement there. There are all kinds of horror stories out of the provincial offices of the DMR. We have seen some Section 54 stoppage notices issued in the past. That doesn't seem to be the blunt tool that it has been in the past. There does seem to be some recognition inside government circles that it needs to work more hand in glove with the industry. Are you picking this up in your survey?
Yes, we're picking this up. I was also quite pleased with the minister yesterday mentioning that there is more attention on this topic, that he wants to address at a provincial level how can we make sure that there's more consistency in the way you apply for mining rights. I think more can be done. What you see is, for example, if you look in other international benchmark countries, is that there's online systems and that the clarity of what you need in order to file is much clearer and much stronger, and there's much less discretion in the process lengthen out that process in order to arrive at final rights. So yes, I think more can be done.
I want to come back to your point about geological mapping. What could government do here in particular? You said it is a bit of a long lead time investment, but we need to start making these investments now if we are going to benefit from them in the next 5 to 10 years.
No, absolutely. And one of the biggest impediments to South Africa is actually investments in exploration, right? And you need good geological mapping in order to be able to do this investments. Now, the last time that a broad-based geological mapping was done was in the 70s. That data is available, but it's all available on paper and it's not very accessible. Now, the government has started an initiative that actually does an updated geological mapping in a digital way, but it is probably underfunded. If you look at the capital that is required and the capital that is available, it will take probably 10 to 15 years to complete that project, which is not the pace that we require for this.
As we round off infrastructure, you mentioned Transnet and the work it's doing on the transport side of things, on the power side of things. Obviously, the big question at Mining Indaba has been Eskom. How will government solve for the Eskom problem?
My honest answer is I don't know, right? I think there is a careful balance to be struck between a contribution from government, between a contribution from civil society, and it is very likely that, and also in terms of cost saving on Eskom itself, I believe that there's a very strong team a strong task team in place that is looking at this issue. There's also a broad belief that Mr. Ramaphosa will actually address it in the State of the Nation address on Thursday. I would say let's wait for that guidance and see where that takes us.
Hans, as always, a great pleasure chatting to you, and thanks for sharing your insights into your most recent report, a really refreshing take on what it will require to ensure that South Africa becomes a competitive mining jurisdiction again and reclaim its place at the table of top mining investment destinations. Take care.
Thank you very much.